Corinthians chapter 8, and you should be, if you've been coming to Sunday school and been around here, you should know this, and I'm going to hit some points, and this won't be anything new, but just remind us what we need to do today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and let's stand, and I'll read several verses here, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look at some faith, promise, grace, giving principles here. Verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for it is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Our Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege we have to be in a missions conference. We thank you for the men, women, and young people who've come out this week, Lord, who worked and labored and have done so many things, and yet they've been here and supported the missions program of this church. We thank you for this Sunday school hour. Pray you bless all that's taking place with the children, and then this hour, and then all day long, pray that you'll help this church to do what you would have it to do for the cause of world evangelization. Take me as your servant, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, you may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Of course, you're very familiar, if you've been here any length of time, that 2 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10 is often used around the world to be able to teach us about what we call faith promise or grace giving. There are three principles of giving found in the Bible. The first one is the tithe. Now, the tithe belongs to the Lord. All right, and one thing we have to understand, it doesn't take being spiritual to tithe. It means being obedient. The tithe is the Lord. No one spends God's tithe. From the very first time in the Garden of Eden, God has always reserved something for himself, a portion for himself. So the tithe is 10% of all thine increase belong to the Lord. So I begin giving before I can ever give God anything. I must first pay God what I owe him, all right? The tithe is the Lord. Someone asked the question, where is John? We haven't seen him for a while. He hadn't been to church recently. And someone says, didn't you know he's in the hospital? God's taking out his tithes. You'll get all over that. So sometimes he takes it out in the hospital. Sometimes he takes it out in your automobile. He takes it out when you go to the dentist. But God's tithe is his, all right? So the tithe is the Lord. The second principle of giving is what we call an offering. An offering is something that you give above your tithe. And the offering, God doesn't say about the offering how much I'm to give, but Malachi said, "Will a man rob God? God, wherein have you robbed me in tithes and offerings?" Now listen, in order to be a scriptural giver, I must pay a tithe and give some kind of an offering. All right, for the sake of numbers, let's say that 11%. I'm going to give to God would make me a scriptural giver. Wouldn't make me a great giver because I'm at the very bottom, but at least if I paid my tithe and gave some kind of an offering to the Lord, I'm at least scriptural. All right, so you must be, in order to be scriptural, you have to give at least a tithe and an offering to the Lord. Then that, and by the way, the offering is what really it takes to really operate a church. If every member, stop for a moment, take the size of your church right now. If every person in this church, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, pay the tithe 100%, this church couldn't survive financially. Tithing will never take care of a church. All right? Offerings, because when I start giving offerings, I'm proving to God how much I love him, how much I'm willing to sacrifice. Offerings takes sacrificial giving. So if you're at the minimal of giving 11% to your Lord, to the Lord, every year you ought to be trying to give more. Lord, you've done more for me, and I'm going to give a greater offering to you. And I've done that all my Christian life. I spent 5.5 years in the church before I went into the ministry, and I learned from the time that I learned to the tithe 3 weeks after getting saved, and learned about offerings. In 5.5 years, I learned to give 33% of all my increase, everything I had, to the Lord. Then I got into ministry, and it continued to go up, because the more you serve the Lord, the more he does for you. And by the way, you'll prove him when you start sacrificing to give the offering. Then the third principle is what we call giving by faith or giving by grace. Tithes and offerings are used to pay for the ministry of the church. You pay salaries, you pay the building, you do all of these things. The offering we're talking about in missions, or this grace giving or faith giving, or what it's talking about in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, is talking about giving above your tithe and above your offering for the sole purpose of getting the gospel around the world, seeing churches planted around the world. Okay, so that's what we've been preaching about all week. That's what you're going to be committing to today. When you take your faith promise card, you're not giving a tithe or an offering. You're giving something above that. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, you cannot scripturally give to faith promise if you're not paying your tithes and offering. You can't all of a sudden take from tithes and offerings and say, okay, I'm going to give it to missions. That's not scriptural, all right? This is something above your tithe, above your offerings, for the sole purpose of getting the gospel around the world. All right, so we're talking about that. Now we got the tithe and the offering out of the way. And by the way, in 35 years of being in the ministry, I have never seen a time where the faith promise of grace giving has increased. Whenever it increases, the tithes and offerings always increase, because there's some people, once they understand, they may have been giving to missions but not giving tithes and offerings, and they want to get spiritual and right with God, so they start paying their tithes and offerings and then start giving. All right, so for heaven's sakes, don't. If you're not giving tithes and offerings, what you need to do in order to do it where it's acceptable, is a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord, is well-pleasing to the Lord, you've got to pay your tithe, give your offering, and then give to Faith Promise Missions for world evangelization. All right, so tithes, offerings, and then Faith Promise or grace giving. Now, when it comes to this offering that we're going to take today, there are three ways you can give. All three ways will be blessed by God. First of all, you can give out of your abundance. Now, if you are well off, and I look around here, and it looks like the church has several millionaires. So since you are a millionaire and you have plenty of money, you don't have to pray about giving. You don't have to ask for faith. You don't have to just go and write a big check and a big commitment out of your abundance, and God will bless you for it. All right? He will. He'll do that. So if you're that way, probably, like most churches, that's not the case here. All right? So you don't have an abundance to give out of. So the second way you can give is give sacrificially. You don't have a whole lot, but your heart is so burdened about giving to world evangelization, you said, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to do without some things. I'm concerned about what God's concerned about, and therefore I'm willing to sacrifice. And people will sacrifice a lot of things to be able to give. You may have to give up your daily Starbucks. Okay, and give that money to world evangelization. I've seen people give up a lot of things. I don't know what it, but you said, I will sacrifice. The third way to be able to give is what we call giving by faith or giving by grace. Now, many of God's people do give by grace, because you don't have a whole lot. You have sacrifice, and you have to trust God to help you to give in spite of your circumstances. But giving by faith is something where you're willing to give and make a commitment of something you don't have, and you have enough faith that God will provide it for you to give. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10. We're talking about a special offering for the saints of Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul had gone out as a missionary church planter, the churches of Macedonia, the church of Corinth, and we preached about that. He spent 18 months. It became a great church. He told them about this special offering. They were quick, zealously, and quick to perform, to make a commitment. But 1 year after they made the commitment, they didn't keep it. Paul, now excited about the fact that they had made a commitment, went over and told these poor churches in Macedonia about what the church of Corinth had promised. They immediately, though they didn't have a lot, gave. So you had one promise and didn't perform. One who didn't have a whole lot immediately started performing. So now he writes back a letter to the ones who made the promise the first time to provoke them to keep their promise. This is the context here. This is the setting of this letter here in chapters 8, 9, and 10. In this letter, he gave them four reasons why they needed to keep their promise. And we're going to look at that very quickly. In the first five verses, he gave them an example. An example of what grace giving and faith promise is. And by the way, whether you call it faith promise or grace giving, I tend to think it's more grace giving than it is faith promise, but it's a very well-known term that's used. There are several things about this commitment here that's made. First of all, it's scriptural. Secondly, it's simple. Thirdly, it's systematic. And fourthly, it's successful. Faith promise, grace giving to local churches has done more to raise money for world evangelization than anything else you'll ever come in contact. It has worked and proven itself to be scriptural, simple, systematic, and successful for the cause. So it behooves churches to be involved in it. So he writes this example. Now keep in mind the context. He's writing an example to the church of Corinth that's a church that made a promise and didn't keep it. And by the way, whenever the scripture there's something in the scripture. It was not only for Corinth, but it's for shining light in every church on the face of the earth. I don't care where it is. Every church ought to follow this example. And there's several things he said. He talked about the preparation for them to be able to give. He said in verse number one, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So let's take our situation. Let's take Shining Light. Let's say we don't have a whole lot of people here. We don't have a lot of rich people. We don't have a lot of well-to-do people. We got people that are struggling, having a rough time, and people that don't have things to be able to give. The example is this grace available. God's grace is still available. And the grace that what made them give sacrificially the way they did was God bestowed grace upon them. So if you find yourself now checking out your situation financially before you make your commitment today, look at the example that these poor churches gave because God bestowed grace. He is no respecter of churches, no respecter of people. He will still give grace today. All right, so they were prepared because of the grace. Then the grace that was bestowed upon them. Here they gave in spite of two reasons, and this is a very precious way to look at this example. Verse 2, how that in the great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they abounded into the riches of their liberality. They gave in spite of two things. They were in great affliction and deep poverty. Now, one thing I can say, whether I'm in Arizona or in Virginia, compared to these churches, we are not poor. And we are not under great affliction. We're not facing all kinds of persecution. They were, but they had a heart for the things of God, and they gave in spite of that. Then we see the pattern in which they gave in verse number 3. For to their power, the word power means ability. And I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. All right, the pattern they gave to their power, to their ability. And let me emphasize a few things here. That means as poor as they were, they had the ability to do something. All right? So here's where I believe that most of us, including me, never learned to give by faith. And I still today don't say I give by faith. I give sacrificially. Without that, and I give to my ability. I have something to give. If I didn't have something to give, I couldn't increase my giving twice a year for almost 40 years. So obviously I have something to give. Anytime you have some food, anytime you drive a car, anytime you have a television, you have something that you can give to Faith Promise. So what they did is they gave to their ability. They looked at what they had, which wasn't a lot, and was willing to give that, but the burning in their heart wanted them to do more. So in order to do more, they had to give by faith. True faith promise is, first of all, giving sacrificially of what you have and then trusting God by faith that you want to do more and you're trusting him to provide it through you to be able to give. Does everybody understand that? If you are not, let's say the faith promise, you get ready to make a faith promise commitment. Nobody in here is too poor to do that. Nobody is too poor to do that. Everybody has something that you can sacrificially give. If you're not willing to sacrifice what you already have to give to Faith Promise, don't waste your time and God's time praying for you to give faith to give what you don't have. It doesn't make any sense. It's a waste of time to tell God to give you faith to give what you don't have if you don't have enough willingness in the heart to sacrifice and give of what you do have. All right, that's very important, doesn't it? So maybe you're not there yet, and you wouldn't be alone. You wouldn't be the Lone Ranger. But everybody can get to the point where you can sacrifice. That's, you know, it's not fair for us to be going to heaven and two-thirds of the world going to hell. And if all we have to do is sacrifice a little bit is going to help somebody, then we ought to be willing to do that. God gave his very best. All right, so, and then, of course, we preached the other night. We talked about what gave them the power. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Once God had their heart, sacrificing wasn't a problem because they knew the relationship with God would take care of that. All right, so he writes this example. Not only was it an example for the church of Corinth, but it was an example for every church on the face of the earth until Jesus comes back. Here's an example. And what this example does more than anything else, it eliminates all excuses of saved people in a local New Testament church saying, I can't give. All right? So if you decide today, which is your choice, that I am not going to give to the Faith Promise program of my church, that's fine. But just say that's a decision I made and I don't have an excuse that I can't do it. That's why this is here. It's an example for all of us to see. Everybody can participate. The second thing that he told the church of Corinth, and he's telling us, he said, now I've laid out for you an example. Here's an example why you can be involved and should be involved. Then he says, I'm going to give you an exhortation. An exhortation is something where I'm trying to encourage you to do it. I don't want you to waste this example. I want you to be motivated to say, I can do this. And therefore, he says, I'm going to exhort you as the Apostle Paul, a church planting missionary who's out on the field doing this. And I'm led by God and I know what I'm doing. I'm going to exhort you to do it. So he gives a threefold exhortation. In verse number 6, he says, in so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. The grace he's talking about is the grace that the churches of Macedonia had when it came to giving. He says, I want this church that I spent 18 months of my life training, which comes behind in no gift, where the testimony of Jesus Christ is confirmed in this place. I'm going to exhort you to do that, and I'm going to help you out. Just in case you don't understand, I'm going to send Titus to teach you. Shining light, just in case you don't understand, Pastor Dawson is going to teach you, and then he's going to fly Dr. Baldwin all the way from Virginia to help teach you more about doing it. All right, since I want you to get a hold of this thing. That's why you have mission conferences. That's why you have this. You want to exhort people to follow the example. Then he says, therefore, when you see therefore, see what it's there for. Therefore, now that you've had this example, and therefore, now that you've got the teaching, he says, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, See that you abound in this grace also. So in this exhortation, the first thing he says about this grace giving, not only do I want you to do it, but I want you to abound in it. I mean, it lists all of these things. Of course, the New Testament church had all the gifts, the gifts here before the word of God was completed, and they were known for faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence. They had all of these wonderful things going on. But he says, let something stand out even more than that. You are known as a church that abounds in the grace of giving. Best churches I'm in all over the world are mission-hearted churches. I'm in churches that have huge buildings and huge congregations and acres of property. I was out in Mobile, Alabama, and you're out around. Our church is on a little one-acre site, a little three-story building on a one-acre site, and don't have any land down there, and land's $1 million an acre. And you go to some of these places, you have all of this land. How many acres you have? Oh, we have 30, 40 acres, and we plan on getting another 10 acres down here, and you see all of this. And I asked the guy, they have this huge building, 27,000 square feet here and another 20,000, and I'm asking how much it cost. And what they pay to build it is a down payment for us in our area. You got a little, if you weren't walking with the Lord, you can get a little envious. But I've learned a long time ago, God puts people there wherever he wants them to be, and he provides. So, but our little church, one of the things that you can go any place around the world, and you can mention Crossroads, and they'll mention that's a good preaching church and has a great choir and all, but they'll say, that's a mission-hearted church. That's what you want to be known for. You want to abound. That little old church in 35 years, and we run about 450, and half of those are children. They're going to be future missionaries and all of that. But our church last year went over $12 million above tithes, offerings, buildings, Sunday school, special offering to world evangelization. So when I get up and talk about that, I know, and we don't have any rich people. Until last year, 2 years ago, and we built two buildings. The first one was a $3.2 million. We built child care for $4 million that you guys gave a gift to be able to help out way back when we built that. We've done all of that in this little area. But until last year, the largest single gift given to our church was $6,000 until last year, and I gave that. So we don't have any rich people. But when you get 95% of your people paying tithes, offerings, building fund, Sunday school, child care center, missions, you got a lot of people doing their very best. And you calculate it all together, it comes out to the total. That's what a church is. You know, God is not looking for one person to do everything. He's looking for everybody to do something. All right, so he says abound. So he tells him, my exhortation is to abound in the grace of giving. Then the second thing he says, as you abound in this grace of giving in verse 7, I want you to do it with an attitude of willingness. Look at verse number 8, and hang on here now. Paul, you gave an example of the poor churches of Macedonia. You, as a church planting missionary, you exhorting us to abound in this. And then you come up and say in verse number 8, I speak not by commandment. But you're an apostle. If you commanded us to do something, maybe it would get done. He says, I want you to do it. But to be scriptural and be right with God, I can't command you to do this. Faith, promise, giving is not a command. You're commanded to tithe. You're commanded to go to church. You're commanded to pray. You're commanded to give some kind of offering, but faith promise is not a commandment in the scripture. I preached and said that in some places and people get nervous. You don't have to get nervous about saying what is right. It's biblical. You're not commanded. You don't have to do this. That little card, no name on it. Nobody's going to know whether you gave but God. You don't have to do it. And get a hold of this. If you don't do it, you're not sinning. Nobody wants to be guilty of sinning. And some people give because they don't want to be somebody to know about it. And they, you know, he said, look, relax, take off the seatbelt. You don't have to do this. He says, I speak not by commandment, even though I'm exhorting you to do it. But I can't command you to do it. Go back to that verse. I speak not by commandment, but occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. I want you to abound in the grace of giving. I want it to be an attitude of willingness, but I want it to be an action of worship. And here's what he's saying. I can't command you to do it. Now listen to me very carefully. But if you don't do it, you prove something. You prove you don't love God. Wow. That's what it says. You prove the sincerity of your love, not by how you sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You prove how much you love God by how willing you are to sacrifice and give that others might get to know this God. And he says, I want you to abound in it. That's my exhortation. He says, I can't command you to do it. I want it to be an attitude of willingness. And I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. Look at verse number 3 when you talk about the churches of Macedonia. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, what? They were willing of themselves. Down to verse number 12. For if there be first a what? Willing mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. And then he puts in verse number 9 right in the middle of this talking about money. You ever wonder why in the world this verse is right in the middle of all this exhortation and this example about money? I mean, it just looks like it's just right in the middle of it. He said, I want you to have a little passion about this thing. He says, for ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The Holy Spirit led Paul to put this verse here to remind us God proved his love to us by sending he who was rich to give himself for those of us who were poor that we might become rich. That's the passion. I say all the time, missions is spiritual business. God says, I'm looking for people who will love me and they will love what I love. I love the world and I prove that I love the world by giving my son to die and shed his blood for the sins of the world. And I want you to do this because you want to prove to me that you love me. And you do that. You know, around our church, we make no bones about it. Giving is a part of worship. Worship. You worship God through your giving. My wife, I haven't gotten there yet. I'm close, but not where she is. She has made a commitment quite some time ago. There is never an offering plate in any situation, in any church that ever passes her that she doesn't put a financial gift in it. Never. I don't care what you watch it. Every service in here, if you had Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, she'd give three times a day, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. And this is not just here. Every place in the world, she made, because she believes, like we all ought to believe, that giving is a part of worship. So when you're giving, you're worshiping God. And there's a purpose. It's not by accident that we pass offering place. You know, there's a reason for that. It's all part of worship. And I tend to give chunks, you know, at a time. And she said, that ain't good enough. If I gave that chunk all the time, I'd be broke all the time. But anyway, she gives all the time. And she goes to the bank and gets money out of set aside. We travel and make sure she has a certain amount of money and to do that. Now, she'll get on me every once in a while. She has to tip the maid. She said, you know, that don't be your responsibility. But, I don't carry a lot of money around. But anyway, I don't know how I got on that. But anyway, there's a passion, all right? So there's an exhortation here. We see the example. Then there's the exhortation. And then we had two more. We had plenty of time here. The third thing he says in verse number 10, and herein I give my advice. Now Paul said, okay, I gave you an example. I gave you an exhortation, told you you weren't commanded to do it. You don't have to be forced to do it. But he says, yeah, let me give you my advice. Let me give you something else to help you along. So I give my advice. Keep in mind, Paul was a great man of God. And he was a church planter of heart. He said, let me give you some advice. And herein I give my advice, for it is expedient for you. The word expedient means it's profitable. Now keep in mind, he's talking to a church. And if he's talking to a church, he's talking to the people that make up the church. He says, church, Corinth, it's expedient that you follow this example, listen to my exhortation, and follow my advice, because it's for your benefit. You're going to gain something for this. Now, let's think about it from the standpoint of the church. Why is it expedient that a church gets involved in grace giving, faith promise giving? Remember back Wednesday night, for those that were here, we were talking about the mission of the church is missions. All right? The responsibility of getting the gospel around the world, God commissioned the church. All right? The church has that responsibility. The church has been given the plan of God that's authentic, assured the promises of God, accomplished by the power of God, but it requires the people of God. So the people of God get involved in the plan of God. I give my time, my talent, and my treasure to help the church carry out the plan. Now, why is it expedient for the church to have a good faith promise, grace-giving program? Because if the church has been commanded to get the gospel around the world, and you have a good faith promise commitment, you can have more missionaries take on, increase your missionaries, they become an extension of the command that was given the church, and therefore it's expedient because it helps the church accomplish what God commanded the church to do. It just makes sense. That's why you try to increase it all the time. Do more, do more. You're not trying to make more money to be able to put in the bank and draw interest on, or make more money to build buildings. You're trying to make more money to get more missionaries on the field, because those missionaries become an extension of the command that's given the church. So he says it's expedient. It's expedient for the church that we do this thing and get it done. And by the way, you'll find when you study the Bible and it comes about faith promise church, the missions of faith promise program helps provides the church a means for getting the gospel around the world. But I'll tell you something else we'll do. If you learn to give sacrificially the missions, it will help to purify a church. Amen. When a church becomes unselfish and focuses upon the world, you have so much time and attention you need to give the world that you don't have time to focus on each other. It'll help us to overlook problems. It'll help love to cover all kinds, multitudes of sin, all kinds of things. Unselfish people make up a good missions church, because you're concentrating on the world and not focusing upon each other. So it helps to purify the church. The Church of Jerusalem, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. They stayed around Jerusalem, didn't go to Samaria, didn't go to the Judea. And all of a sudden, that church had all kinds of issues. Acts chapter 5, they had a bunch of hypocrites. There's a bunch of murmuring going on in Acts chapter 6, and had to get some deacons to kind of way on tables, and Judaism and all kinds of stuff happened. Persecution came in and had to scatter them. God had to force things to happen. But when a church is reaching out to the world like it's supposed to, it has the blessings of God. And of course, we saw in Philippians 4:19 that when a church is involved in missions, it helps. It provides a way for God to meet every need that a church has. You take care of God's business, God will take care of the church business. And then the last thing he says, after he gave the example, and then he gave the exhortation, abound, making an attitude, a willingness, an act of worship. It's expedient, it's profitable for the church. It's also profitable for the Christian, too, because we lay up treasure in heaven when we give to missions. And then the last thing he said is what we're going to do all day today. He said in verse number 11, now therefore, talking to Corinth, talking to every church, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. the final thing he said to the church is execute. Do it. Do what you promise. And make it a habit all year long to execute. When you make a faith promise, as you will either do in Sunday school this morning, Sunday morning service, or you do the Sunday night. I've seen people make a commitment in Sunday school, add to it in the Sunday morning, and add to it in Sunday night. All of that happens because this is all about a heart business, and God wants the heart. He said, execute, make sure you do it. And he says, this is what the business will be about all day long today. Shining Light Baptist Church will take a look at this example. Follow the exhortation of this man of God, and you will understand it's expedient, it's profitable for me to do it. And I've determined by the grace of God, I'm going to execute. I'm going to give out of my abundance or give sacrificially, or give by faith or grace to help get the gospel around the world. Let's pray, and then ushers, I want you to pass everybody in here a faith promise card, and then we're going to talk about what to do in the next 8 minutes with this. We'll be dismissed, and you can get some coffee and chew on it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had in this conference, and this is finale day. This is the day that this church will decide whether those two missionaries can be added, whether those other five can be increased. And they will continue to help get the gospel around the world. I pray for every man, woman, boy, or girl. They'll look at this example, follow the exhortation, realize how expedient it is, and then execute. Execute, carry it out, perform the doing of it. And all that is said and done at the end of this day, I pray that you'll be pleased with what this church has done for world evangelization. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.